Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. Here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Sean.
Welcome to episode 24 of All the Bits.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. You're always here, unfortunately.
Yes.
What do we have to say before we get going here?
Well, this particular episode was brought to the listeners by our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, which is a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones.
Nice. You said that with a lot of vigor and, like, your voice went in good places.
Yeah? Should I be a voice actress?
Sure. That's kind of what you're doing
now. I like the word vigor.
Vigor, yeah.
Vigor.
This episode is going to be very vigorous.
There you go.
Yeah, it's going to be super, super duper vigorous. Episode 24. So, what's new and exciting?
Nothing. We have a new podcast mic, and we would like to hear from our listeners if the sound quality is better at all.
Yes, please tell us. Yes. Otherwise, you can laugh it. I'm going to laugh at you for wasting money on it.
Well, it's pretty.
It is pretty.
And it matches my granite really nicely.
Does it?
Yeah. The white and the gold. The rose
gold.
I
didn't even notice that was gold.
Oh, of course you didn't.
I don't know these things. Whatever. Disc. Whatever, brah. I don't know. I thought that was opal.
Boom.
Boom.
Which is our anniversary material.
Oh.
What's our pick?
Abyss.
Question mark.
Because they're not opal?
I don't know.
We'll say they're opal.
That's what we're doing.
They're opal.
Yep.
Because I can't think of anything else that is opal. Gosh, that...
That's a tough one.
That's going to be an expensive anniversary when I hit 24, because it's an opal. Like,
just...
What is opal?
Buy Abyss.
You know, my wife is going to love that, because, you know, she's going to love that. Here, honey, I'm just going to throw a bunch of beads in your
face.
Yeah,
exactly. Just say it's, like, super expensive opal from some, like, some beach somewhere or something, and, like, put it in a box.
Is opal a birthstone?
And say it represents something.
Is opal a birthstone?
I don't know.
Hmm.
All I know is it's used for saxophone keys.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought that was ivory. No, that's...
Oh, yeah. Maybe you're right.
Pianos.
Maybe. Yeah, ivory's pianos. Pretty okay. Sure.
I don't know.
Well, now I'm guessing.
Do you have to kill elephants to get opal?
No.
Okay, that's good. Anyway, so, you know, if you guys know any
opal
games that have opal, you know, tweet us or Instagram us or whatever, Facebook us.
At All the Bits Pod.
Yeah, we'd love to see your games because I have no... I feel like these are getting really hard.
They are getting
like,
really
as
hard.
Like, as we get older and older and more mature, they get harder.
Are we getting more mature?
We're getting more mature in our episode ages,
oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, there's episode 24. I guess we should go on to our next thing.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I felt like a little something in my throat.
Synchronized boo.
That's our ask me anything question thing that we do.
Sound effect.
First for ask me anything, which is we ask each other very important questions.
Very important.
Very important questions. All right, can I ask you first?
Sure.
Because I just kind of called an audible again. I was listening to a podcast. So as we've talked about, we are big fans of Avengers Infinity War.
And baseball.
And baseball. You know, whatever. A certain thing. So, spoilers for a movie that came out a month ago, but there's a big thing going on Reddit now.
Okay.
And that basically what's going to happen is they're going to ban half the users from a subreddit.
Really?
Based on something that happens in Infinity Wars. Spoilers.
Okay.
Just whatever. I'm going to put a spoiler tag in.
I have no idea where this is going.
But basically they're banning 100-something thousand users. Based on some, it's related to the movie. Whatever. Okay.
Okay.
So they're banning half the users. So, my question to you is, if you could ban, not half, but if you could ban up to three genres, you can only do one if you want, up to three genres of board games from existence, what would they be?
Well, that's awfully mean.
Yes, but...
But yeah. If I had to, I'd probably ban, like, war games, because I never play those.
So you're being selfish to all the people who do enjoy war games.
That is correct. I did say it was going to be mean.
Fair, fair.
What else? Like, probably 18XX games, because I also would never play those.
Fair, and all the... Okay.
What other genres are there? Down with the Mirror Trash. No, I'm kidding.
Hey.
I do like some of that. Yeah, I'm just going to go with those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't need those.
We don't need those.
We don't need those.
Okay.
Okay, this I have a question for you.
Okay.
This is from our listener, Deadman. He asked me, and I thought it was a good one. If you were...
Gang up.
If you were to be reincarnated as a board game bit, what would you be and why?
This is very easy. Because what? This is like super easy because this just dropped. Have you seen from CMON that new CMON game?
No. Which one?
Oh my gosh. The new one that's coming out, which I'm going to show you right now. You haven't seen it?
I don't know. If you told me the name, I don't remember. It's like their new
Cthulhu May Die or something like that.
No, I haven't seen it.
Death to Cthulhu or something. Where is it? This guy posted it. Let's see if we can find it.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So basically there's this. Someone posted the picture. I think it's Cthulhu May Die. It's hitting Kickstarter on the 10th of July. But there's one mini in it that basically is bigger than a toddler.
Oh, I did see a picture of that.
Yes. Yes, that would obviously be the mini I would be because then I could crush everyone else.
That's ridiculous.
It is like so huge. So, and I'm all about size.
I would love to see what people do with paint on those.
Yes, you basically would have to go to Home Depot or Home Hardware or Lowe's or whatever and buy a big thing of paint and a roller to paint it.
Jeez, even the standard ones are huge. Like, look at that guy. Wow.
What's the name of it? Is it Cthulhu May Die?
Yeah, Cthulhu May Die.
Yeah. So that would be the bit I would be.
Cool. Good pick. Good pick. I picked the dragon from Clang because he sleeps a lot.
He sleeps a lot?
Yeah. Isn't he like resting until people make noise?
He's not necessarily resting. He's kind of just hanging out.
Oh, I thought he was sleeping. Well, if I was the dragon from Clang, I would be sleeping.
Yes, you would. Probably.
All the time.
All the sleeping.
All the sleeping.
All the sleeping.
Are we getting ready for our next...
Are we? What's our sound effect for this one? I can't remember.
Really?
Probably
because you've never actually been able to sing it correctly.
Did I get any of it right?
Yeah.
Sweet. Nailed it. This is our guess the game bit.
Yeah.
Where we give each other clues based on the BGG profile of a game and try and get... The other person has to try and guess it.
Yes. And are we good at this game?
We are awful at this game.
Yes, we are.
We are horrible. Who's going to be horrible first?
I'll give you some clues first.
I will be horrible first.
Yes. Okay. All right. 8.1 rating.
Ooh, it's a biggie. You like going for these.
I almost just read you the title. Oh, boy.
8.1?
8.1.
That's not a game.
2015.
Okay.
33,000 ratings. Wow. Playtime, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Weight, 2.23.
2015.
Okay.
30 minutes.
Yep.
Is it a two-player game?
Yep.
Should I know this? I'm so bad at this. Why do we even do this stupid bit?
I don't know.
I'm, like, awful at it.
It's fun, maybe?
Is it? No, not only Tama.
Card drafting and set collection.
Is it that train game?
No.
Okay.
Oh, that first class?
Great, no, not great first game. Class. No, horrible game. It's awful.
No, it's really good, it's actually.
Debatable.
It's not debatable.
It's super debatable.
No.
Yeah, trust me. Okay.
Category. This is ancient city building civilization. And it is a card game.
No, really, because it's got card drafting. It's like, okay, set collection. Like, I feel like people are just, like, turning off their radios right now because they're like, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah, or they're yelling at you.
Yes.
Which, good on you, people.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot and you can yell at me. Fair?
So it only plays two players.
Okay.
I don't know if you had confirmed that in your mind. It is
ancient.
It's ancient, yeah. And it's, I don't know if you would call it a re-implementation of another game. A very, very, very popular, like, go to chapters you can play.
Oh, is it Agricola? The big and small one? No. No. Because that would not be card drafting. I am so stupid.
No, you're not. It's hard. It's a re-implementation. There's like thousands of games out there.
It's a re-implementation of one you can go into chapters in, like,
yeah.
Or Barnes & Noble for our American
It has a number in its title.
Seventh Continent.
Yes, that's it. That is it. You nailed it. You even got the right number.
Seven Wonders? Duel.
There you go.
I appreciate how you gave me steps to get there.
I did. And then at the teaching. End, I was holding your hand.
You did? No, it's okay. It's okay. That's good teaching. Appreciate it. All right. I'm so stupid. Okay. All right. Here's my game. This game is currently ranked 199th on the Geek.
Okay, so I've memorized the top 500 of BGG, so you might want to not give that.
No, I'll give you that. Let's see what your memory's like.
Okay, 199, blah, 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 go through my catalog in my head, Gingopolis.
No, I like how you're typing on the table.
It's
no.
Part of the method.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's got a 7.5 ranking, 1,700 kilometers. Comments. 1.7 thousand comments and 8,200 ratings.
Okay, what did you say a year?
2013 is
okay.
The year.
Okay, that was like right around when I was getting into the hobby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it's a weight of 2.75.
Okay.
Categories are card game, city building, dice, economic. And Renaissance.
No, that didn't come out then. Okay, wait. Cards, dice, Machikoro?
No. City building, economic, and Renaissance.
2013.
Would you like mechanisms? Although you could probably figure them out from the categories.
Yeah.
Dice rolling and hand management.
Dice rolling and hand management, Renaissance. What was it? Card, city building.
City building, card.
And there's no tiles.
I don't know how I feel about city building being a category.
Oh, really?
In this game,
okay.
It is a game you have played probably a fair bit.
Of course. So it should be obvious.
I mean, as soon as you hear Renaissance, you're like, right, I've played this.
Renaissance. Oh, man. Come on.
What else can I
give you? It's not Bloody Inn. No. That's not really
2013.
2013.
Plays in 60 minutes.
San Juan?
No.
No, that's an older game.
I mean, I can't give you the designer. Can I give you the artist?
That's not going to help me.
No.
I'm just starting to pay attention to artists.
Publisher?
Sure.
Z-Man?
Oh, come on.
Amongst others.
It's not Gingopolis, is it?
No. There are five colors in this game.
Dice. You use dice to build a city, but you think city building is not.
You use the five colors a lot more than the dice. Well, no, you use the dice a lot too.
Schmuck. I can't even think of anything.
Would you like the family?
Yeah.
I'll give you some things from the family. Tableau building.
Okay.
Country, Belgium.
Ah! What? It's Bruges.
Yes.
It's Bruges! Yeah, city. I guess, like, you're building the
building. But it's like, you know.
That's such a great game.
It is.
I really like that one.
Is it my favorite Felder or my second favorite Felder? 1 and 1A with castles.
I don't remember what your favorite was. I don't even remember what my favorite was.
I mean, it's no Pulsar 2849, 45, 59, whatever. But
2849.
It's no Pulsar 2849.
Nailed it.
It's a good game. It is enjoyable. and delectable. All right.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew. Pew.
Oh, my groin.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew. This is our drive-by.
This is amazing, is what this is.
Yes, this is our drive-by bit. This is where we talk about the games that we've played and what we thought of them in the last since our last episode.
Yep.
Or as I'm doing since the last episode, I played like one game, which I am talking about. But
excellent, know, excellent.
I'm moving and have a daughter who was sick and stuff, so haven't done very much.
You know what I'm hearing? A lot of excuses.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Welcome to my world.
Yes.
I make excuses all the time.
Yes.
Hashtag Sean's world. So, all right. Shall I go first?
Sure.
Sure. I'll talk about some of the new hotness.
Oh, okay.
Starship Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Designed by Isaac Vega. Art by our good friend, Mr. or Mrs. Gunship Revolution.
All right.
Which, as we figured out, oh, I'll explain after, published by Plaid Hat Games. This just came out, like, literally a couple days ago.
Maybe.
Currently has 6.9 on BGG. It's like the number one hotness game, though, so I expect this to go up.
From, oh, just on the hotness list?
Yeah, it's number one on the hotness and currently has 6.9. I expect this to go up. This is a friggin' awesome game.
Is it really?
Yes,
I have not looked into it.
Love the crap out of it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I learned this at, played this at Origins, was taught by Isaac Vega, which friend of the show, Darren, said, was asking me, oh, you really like that game? And I was like, yeah, I really liked it. He's like, okay, I bought it. And I was like, okay, but I'm sorry if you don't like it. Maybe the fact that I was taught by the designer and that all my questions answered as we were going might affect how
passion.
Much I liked it. And the passion, he was really good at, like, you know, being able to explain the game in like 5 minutes and like, boom, you can go.
Yeah.
And sat there with us the entire game. I played it with Eric Buscemi and the guys from Cloak and Meeple and got slaughtered. As I do an area control game, so this is an area control game. My first time playing an area control game, I get slaughtered no matter what and never do really good at them. So I'll get this out of the way first. The coolest thing about this game is the minis.
Okay.
It's got really amazing Gundam-looking mechs are the minis in this. And even the ships in the game are pretty nice too, but the mechs are like fantastic. It's like one of those games I really wish I knew how to paint, because I could have a blast with it. And you're looking them up now.
Yeah.
They're really nice. So I'll explain the game first, then you'll understand why there are these giant space mechs in it, of course. So what this game is, there are four, and you're competing for control of space. Basically, and you start with a group of ships. You have one drop ship and a bunch of little tiny ships. Everyone starts with the same two cards that just do stuff in battle. So it's basically an area control game, and there's some card play in it. So everyone everything is the same. Where the game becomes somewhat asymmetrical is that you do kind of a snake draft for these mechs that all have ridiculous powers.
Okay.
And everyone drafts two of them, and then you have two of these mechs that are on your side as well. And they all do all sorts of...
For the whole game?
For the whole game,
okay.
Yeah. They're the two. So that's where you get some asymmetry in it, and they'll constantly change throughout the game. So what you're trying to do is, there are four quadrants of space that you're fighting over, and during this time, you're fighting your... trying to get the most influence, or I don't remember what it's called in the game, but the most, you know, influence at the end of each round.
Okay.
In it. At the end of each round, whoever has the most influence gets a bonus from where they are. And what the bonus does is there are a bunch of other clans in the game which have no bearing on what happens with the players, except the four players are fighting on this track and trying to get the clan, these eight different clan tokens, to go onto their point sheet, basically. So that's how you're getting a lot of your points,
okay.
Is you're trying to win those clans' favors.
Gotcha.
And you do that by, at the end of each round, winning different areas on the map, which there are four of them. And there's also some set collection in that when you win an area, you get the card, and you're trying to collect sets of the cards. So there are four different cards, I think, and you're trying to get 1, 2, 3, and 4. So you get points from that. How you do this throughout the game is there are four different movements you can do, and you have tokens that are one, two, three, and four. And you can place those tokens to get one action point, two action points, three action points, or four action points on things like movement, money, drawing cards, and moving the clan tokens. So you're buying off the clans or whatever. So during your turn, each round lasts four turns. Everyone gets to play one of their tokens on one of those four spaces. And you can double up. Like you can place your two to get two movement on the movement one, and then place your four next time on the same one to get four, like that. At the end of each round, like most of these types of area control games, if there's multiple factions in one space, colony, city, whatever it is, you go to battle based on points. Yeah, this is like Michelle's type, super type of game. Yeah. So when you're going to battle, basically, there's some card play. There's some you'll have some cards that let you do things like, you know, increase your power or influence or whatever it's called, and help with the battle. And then, obviously, when you have your big guys, your mechs, they do all sorts of game-breaking type things. I don't know if they're game-breaking, but they're super powerful to do it. And you do this, I think, three or four times, and that's the game. So it plays pretty quickly. It's a very tight board because you only have those four locations. Yeah. And you are just, you can't. So my general strategy, spoiler for people who play area control games with me, is I try, especially at the beginning of games, to avoid the battling and try and weasel my way into things. That's usually my strategy, no matter what area control game. That does not work in this game. Because people just, there's no space to go. You can't run and hide in it, right? Which is what I like about it. It kind of takes me out of my comfort zone, and I'll be talking about that later on with another game I play. But I really enjoyed how kind of cutthroat it was, and you constantly have to think, because someone's coming to get you, and you have to think, okay, how can you stay one step ahead of whoever you're fighting with to get a specific territory,
right,
or whatever. So there's a lot of that, and because it's so small, I feel like you have to be more than one step ahead of them. So you have to kind of constantly be thinking, okay, what can I do if A happens, and what can I do if B happens, and what can I do if C happens?
Like chess.
Yeah, but with giant mechs.
Right.
So, you know, but it played like super quick. It's not hard. It's not difficult to grasp. Like, it's very simple. You have those four actions. You're trying to move those clans to get those clans to win those clans favors to get your victory points at the end of the rounds. And you're trying to kind of get those sets by taking over, by winning the territories.
Okay.
That's kind of it. That's what you're doing. And then the card play, they do different things that make things a little bit more difficult to do those things, but it is a really fun game, really fun experience. I'm looking forward to getting a copy of it myself, I think. And I think if you're not into super aggressive area control,
yeah,
you probably won't like this because it's very much felt like a knife fight. Maybe some of the other mechs, I don't know, do things that alleviate that a little bit. I don't know, but it's very much a knife fight. So there's not much room for running and hiding.
Right.
So for people who don't like that direct, you know, because there are a lot of people who like area control, but don't necessarily like the constant boom, boom, boom fighting, right? Which is like me, really. But I don't mind the fighting. This game is, you have to be okay with the fighting. So let's Starship Samurai from Plaid Hat Games.
The mechs do look very, very good.
They are, really. They're, like, totally, like, Gundam.
Yeah.
And he was saying that's what he was going for. They were going for that really Gundam kind of look.
Yeah.
Style.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. The one problem that I've seen complaints about this, and I agree with it, and he kind of gave the reason, there's no rings. Like, you know, I don't know if you've played any of the CMON games. They'll have rings per color or faction or whatever. So there's no colored rings. He had mentioned the biggest issue with this was, and people have complained about it online since as well, that I've seen, is that it would have, A, cost, taken longer to get it produced, and B, cost more money. So they went without it.
Interesting.
The option, when I do get this, I'm going to figure just a way to sticker things or some.
I think you should make miniature scarves.
Oh, yes.
That you tie around.
Ooh, hipster mechs.
Yeah.
Hipster Starship Samurai.
If you do that, I will play this game with you.
I might do that. Just my wife is into knitting now, so I could get her to knit some mini things.
Or like some toques, some Canadian winter hats.
Both. We could just put bikes on them too.
That's true.
They'll be super hipster.
Yeah, do everything. Okay. My daughter can sticker it for you.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, to continue on the war game, or whatever you would call that trend, we're going to talk about Merlin.
Oh, yes. Okay, let's do it.
So...
More origins hotness.
Is it hot?
Was
it
hot? I don't know. Origins? I feel like people are talking a ton about Merlin. But it hasn't really had a wide release yet.
Yeah, because that's what it could have been. It could have been that it was finally available, aside from Kickstarter.
You're going to talk about this. I just want to mention. It kind of reminds me with what happened with Ex Libris, with Merlin. It's like a game that everyone initially, it's a fail, it's coming. And I feel like it's been so long that since we heard about it. Like it was Gen Con last year. They had Merlin, copies of Merlin that you could play. Yeah. And it's still not for sale, really. Is it?
On Board Game Bliss, it's on pre-order.
Right?
And I think it says ETA of June.
Yeah. So
I'm guessing it's coming
June soon. Next year.
Yeah,
at this rate.
June 2020.
But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's fine.
I was actually thinking about that at Origins. That feels like
long.
It should have a lot more buzz, and people should be. Oh my god, it's a new Feld. It's big. It's beautiful. It's like So
should. But it's also Queen Games.
Ouch.
I know, but it's true. It's true.
True story.
All right.
Okay.
So Merlin. Which is by Stefan Feld, if you haven't figured that one out yet. Yeah. And Michael Rennick also worked on it. The art is by Dennis Lohausen, and it's published by our favorite publisher, Queen Games. Mm-hmm. And it was published in 2017, but not widely available. And it has a current rating of 7.2 on BGG. And this is, at its core, a roll-and-write game. No, not roll and write. Roll and move. I was like, well, that sounds fun.
Ooh. That's a big arse roll and write game.
Yeah.
You need a permanent marker.
Jeez. Poster board. So this game is roll and move. It's got a rondel. It's the round table. And so it's a round looking board. And you have three dice in your color. And you have a dude out on the rondel, and the rondel has like a bunch of actions. And there's also Merlin, which is a white guy, and you have a white die for him. And basically what
happens... How do you really feel about... So there's not much ethnic diversity in this game is what you're saying?
Well, there's, yellow and red and blue. So every round you're it's kind of like Bora Bora and castles in the sense that you roll your four dice and then you use one die and then you just go around until everybody's done using their dice. The way it works is using your own color die, you can move your own guy and he can only move clockwise. And then the Merlin die, which is the white one, you can move him counterclockwise or clockwise and everybody can move Merlin. And then the board is... broken down into four different six I think different sectors that are represented by different colors, and within each sector there are different resources. There's cubes, which I'm sure have some thematic connection that doesn't matter. There are flags and there are shields. You're going around and you're trying to collect these materials to fulfill card requirements. In typical Feldian fashion, you also have these people that you have three guys that come and you have to fight them off using shields. So you want to get the right colors so that you don't lose points at the end of every round. There's a sideboard where you can use your cubes to build houses or in the environs or something like that. Again, the theme, come on, it's a Feld. And you get points that way. Like it's very point salad-y in that you can get points in a number of different ways. I know. So a lot of the board is getting resources, trading in resources. Some of them, there's also influence markers. You can put your influence markers down in different areas. So some of the spots will say like where you have an influence marker, you can take a flag or something like that. And then there's obviously some scoring ones as well. You get the basic idea. There's a few modifiers. An apple, which allows you to just have a wild die of any value, And then there's these Merlin staffs. You have three of them in a game, and they allow you to use a die twice. So they don't really modify, but they allow you. If you have a good action, you can do it twice. That's it, like, mm-hmm. in a nutshell, right? So I'm still, like, I don't know if I'm, like, biased because I really like Feld. I'm trying to, like, step back after a few plays and be like, do I really like this game? So I'm pretty on the fence about it.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I like it. Like, I can't quite put my finger on it, what it is about Feld's that I really enjoy, but there's just something about his designs, that very Feldian feel you get when you play a game, that I just like. And I get that from Merlin. I don't like it. It's probably one of his, like, if I was to rank all of his games, it would probably be on the bottom or near the bottom. But I still like it.
Yeah.
I just like moving the pieces around and things like that. That being said, it's extremely tactical.
Really?
Because there's just not a lot of ways to manipulate your dice.
Hmm.
So you have to move your dude, you know, and you can look, okay, if I do two and then the four and then the six, or if I do the four and then the six and the two, like, where does that land me? You know, like, there's some decisions, but, like, you're still pretty blocked in by your dice. And so you can have some strategy, or not even strategy, like a sense of, okay, this is what I want to try to accomplish. Like, for example, I don't want to lose 3 points for having this purple guy here at the end of the round, so I'm really going to try to get a purple shield. But it's just hard, like, to get what you really want. Yeah. Hi, Dis.
Oh, we're joined by a live studio audience.
Yeah, we have a puppy.
Yay!
Hey, bud. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't mind being tactical, but it's just kind of strange. And the only modifier that's there is the apple. And again, you have to be able to land on the apple space to get the apple. So it's not like you say, you know, it's easy to come by. Like in Castles of Burgundy, for example, yeah. You can just trade in a die and get you get a few modifier mm-hmm. chits, and then you can use those.
Which usually seems to be kind of a staple.
Yeah.
Belt, right?
Of it does. Yeah, exactly. And so it almost feels like in the Year of the Dragon, which is like it's kind of got the dice feel of Castles of Burgundy and Bora Bora, but it's got that like tighter working against the grind of things that in the Year of the Dragon does.
Okay.
What else? Setup and teardown is a bit of a beast. It's what you'd expect from Feld, but because you have all these different sectors, you have to put them all out and things like that. The rule book is fantastic. I felt like it was a little bit AP inducing. Like, it's not a heavy game, and it's not like a super long game, but because you're like counting all the different variants of the dice, and it's not like interesting, like, I don't know.
Not interesting AP.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're thinking through this like cool decision tree to see where you can go. It's like you're just counting spaces, you know, like 1, 2, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, like, you know what I mean? Okay. That's not as interesting.
So it's not like the usual Fell AP where it's like, do I score my points like this?
Yeah,
like
this, if I right? do this, then this, Which and this, is, and
I,
this.
I find in general Fell games are usually somewhat AP inducing just because you have so many options.
Yes.
But, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's King's Favor, which everyone says you should play with, which I agree with, and it essentially allows you to upgrade your abilities. And so instead of, there's fulfillment cards that you have to do. And instead of taking the points, you can choose to mark off a thing on this board that allows you to change up your character, which I think is definitely valuable. But again, you just feel like you're kind of blocked in. So
cool.
Yeah. I like it enough. It's a Feld. I give him a lot of, like, trust, so I definitely want to play it a bunch more because I do feel like sometimes this happened with Oracle of Delphi. The more I played it, the more I really liked it.
Yeah.
So maybe there's more strategy or control that you have that I'm just not seeing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So it's fine. But I could definitely see it being very polarizing. Like, I think mm-hmm. you would either find it okay or you would probably, like, you would hate it. Rich hated it.
Mm-hmm. But you're still going to make him play it?
No.
Oh, really?
No. I won't make him play it. He never plays Felds with me. That's like when we're, like, rewarding each other. It's like, he's like, I'll buy you dinner. I'm like, oh, here, I'll, you know, I'll say, I'll buy you dinner, buy you scotch. And he's like, I'll play filled.
Oh my God.
Anyway, that was Merlin by Stefan Feld.
And our good friends at Queen's
Games. Yes. Queen's Games.
All right. So, I'm going to go with my second one here. And I kind of want to troll friend of the show, Patrick Hillier, but not. So, at Origins, Patrick played DC Confrontations deck builder game with me.
DC Confrontations?
Yeah, deck builder game. And amongst the games I played with him was, I think, his favorite game, Glory to Rome.
Okay.
Which I hadn't played before.
Yeah, I haven't played that either. I want it.
No, okay. So, I already tweeted, I already took shots at him and tweeted him saying I'm going to kind of piss him off in this. But I don't think I will, because I don't think I didn't like it. And I hear this is a game you have to play repeatedly.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it. So, Glory of Rome, and I'm just going to, there's millions of people on the BGG page.
Wow,
because there's
forever.
So many different, I think there's a few different versions or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think the designers, Ed Carter and Carl Chudik, is the one we hear gets kind of a lot of the credit for this. I'm not gonna, there's tons of artists. I'll talk about the art. and publishers. There's a whole million different type of publishers. I don't know who's who because I know it's a long, complicated story, the history of this game. So I'm not going to get into any of that. I think most people know. 7.5 came out in 2005. So this was, I think, the fancy black box edition that goes for billions of dollars, like, or something.
Yep.
With the worst art in the history of the world. I don't know if Patrick agrees with that.
Really?
But it was awful.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, why? Like, if you're going to go like that with art, don't even try. Like, don't even bother. Like,
yeah,
just,
it's
you
bad.
Know. It looked like bad clip art. I don't know. I don't know what to say about the art. So, I'm not going to get a ton into Glory... a ton into... Well, Glory of Rome. What is going on here?
That's a puzzle.
Is our studio audience making fun of us and heckling us? Anyway, so Glory of Rome is a multi-use card game, and I think it's the multi-use card game that people talk about. And honestly, I still haven't even wrapped my head around all the multi-use of the cards and stuff in the game. But basically, you have these cards in your hand, and you're doing various... You could do various things with them. Let me show you which one it is. It's this one.
Well, that one's
Or no, not that one.
Are you
well, I don't know. One of those. Anyway, I found it really ugly. Whatever. But anyway, so you're using your cards for various things. To build stuff, build Rome. There are various different types of winning conditions that you can do based on things you build or having your tableau. And that's hard. It's a tableau builder. Having your tableau to a certain place that you're supposed to get it. You know, having played this, I would play it again. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk a ton about it. I'd rather probably play like Imperial Settlers or, you know, if I'm going to play a multi-use card game. And I do really enjoy and love multi-use card games. But I felt playing this, and again, I feel like there'll be backlash for people who really like it. But I feel like it felt overly complicated. It felt like it didn't need to be that complicated. But again, I think people who've played it a lot, like Patrick, I'm sure have, like, he knew exactly everything about the game. Right. He knew what to do. And I'm sure, you know, I am not going to be like, oh, this is a stupid game, don't play it. But, yeah, it was like one of those games I wanted to play. Like, you know, you have on your list, you're like, ooh,
sure.
Glory to Rome. And like, you should play this sometime. I would play it again, but I don't know if it's for me.
Have you played Innovation?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I haven't played it. I know Carl, he's...
Red 7?
Red 7, yes, but Red 7's not.
No, it's much lighter.
Yeah, like Matana and like... Is that Carl? That's Carl Chudik too, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was Glory to Rome from a bunch of people.
Yeah, I've not played it. I tried... I think one of our first episodes, I talked about Montanai, and
yeah,
I was like, I'm going to get Montanai, and I'm going to make it our card game, like Rich and I.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to play
How'd
it.
How'd
that go? No. No. We played it, I think, 3 times, and I was like, no. I could tell that there was probably something really cool there once you wrapped your head around it and played it enough, but I was just like, no, screw it.
Yeah, and I almost think, like, a game like this, I don't know, kind of felt to me like, almost like, you know, you talk about, like, LCGs and, like, games like that, or, like, quote-unquote lifestyle games. Like, I almost feel like it's a game you have to be really devoted to.
Totally.
Like, really into, and playing it over and over and over and really developing that, you know?
Yeah.
Thing for.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Gloria Rome. And I'm not bashing it as much as I thought I would, Patrick, so...
He's holding back, though.
I am holding back a little bit.
He's wincing. There's a lot of wincing.
I want to play it. I would play it again to try and get a better idea of what I think of it. Because I do love multi-use cards. Like, I love having those cards and being able to do stuff with it. But I also like simplicity.
And not playing the same game a bunch of times just to...
Just to, like, eventually slog through and be like, oh, I love this now. Yeah. Which we've talked about that on the show. I can't stand that. I don't think. But that was Gloria Rome.
Cool.
So.
Well, bucket list item checked off.
Also, so we spoke about this recently or whatever. Patrick had, he had in these like Ultra Pro things.
Okay.
Ultra Pro card sleeves. And I don't know if you've seen those Ultra Pro card sleeves that are big with like Magic players or whatever. But they have these little holograms. At the bottom.
Yep.
And each one just perfectly blocked out a letter. So, like, stone was, like, own. And wood was, like, wood. And it was, like, perfect. And we were making... Eric Buscemi was also playing him. We were making fun of him the whole game. It was super fun. I wonder if we convinced him to change his sleeves. Because I think he posted a picture of him changing his sleeves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or talked about it on
So you tortured him.
Yes. Oh. I like torturing people.
Okay.
So, it's fun.
All right. Well, my next drive-by... Pew. That was a very not very serious pew.
Yes.
That was my most serious pew ever.
It really was.
Yeah. Is Goa, A New Expedition.
Goa?
No.
I stole that from...
You did.
From
Matthew.
From Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we got
that was
this.
Pretty good.
We have this awesome... We've like totally commandeered all the bits Facebook page and have this awesome gift battle going on right now.
It's great.
Sweet.
Yes, it's great. So yeah, this is by Rüdiger Dorn. Art by Oliver Freudenreich. Published by Z-Man, but out of print, I think, by Z-Man, but still maybe published by Hans and Gluck, I think. 2004. Rating a 7.6 with 10,000 ratings.
Whoa.
So this is a super ugly Euro game. It's like the beige of beige. yeah, when Rich saw the cover, he's like, what is that? So
it's funny because, like, I don't know. Where's that, like, Instagram photo you posted of it?
Well, yeah, but...
That actually made it look... Which one is it?
That one.
Yeah, it's like... I mean, yeah.
That's the board. That's the player board.
Oh, okay. I mean, it looks decent from your shot. You're a really good photographer, so that makes it look... That makes it look... Presentable.
It's not me, it's my phone. All right, so Goa is, at its heart, I guess it's an auction game and then probably something else. there's like kind of a second phase of the game. But what you're doing is you're selecting tiles, which I'll explain. You're selecting tiles to auction off, and then you're adding those tiles in front of you or doing the actions they allow you to do. And then... Sean is taking a photo.
I'm not taking a picture of you. Relax. We don't want to break the internet.
I'm slowly backing away.
Okay.
And then, there's just a bunch of actions you can take. So on your turn, you can take two actions. And there are things like take ship cards, take expedition cards, take goods. And, of course, all of these things allow you to do other things. I don't know. I know I don't want to get into too much detail. But what you're ultimately trying to do is upgrade. So each of the columns is an action that you can take. And for example, I think you start like being able to draw two ship cards when you decide to take that action. But if you upgrade that action, you can take four ship cards when you take that action. And the way you upgrade is handing in ships and handing in goods. Goods you get by having plantations, which you get with tiles, or you can use cards. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different things. There's a little bit of set collection with the cards that you can do at the end of the game. etc. I don't feel like I explained that very well, but I really don't want to get into like the minutiae of the game. But yeah, you're basically just having a bunch of tracks and upgrading them so you have more powerful actions. And then the way the auction is set up is quite interesting. So each of the players has these numbered tiles, and the first player gets to place down a flag next to a tile, and then the next person can place their chit on any tile that is adjacent orthogonally or diagonally to this flag. And then the next person gets to place their chit orthogonally or diagonally adjacent to the person who just placed the chit. So you go around, everyone's placed their chits, and then you auction. It's a one-time auction, which is always, I find, good because it adds some tension. Like, this is it. Do or die. And then, yeah, if you buy the tile from the person who wanted it to be auctioned, you pay them the money. So okay, there's a little bit of that. And then if you're the person who chose the tile, then you just pay it to the bank. And money's somewhat tight because...
Toit.
There is an action, of course, that allows you to take money, but you only get so many actions and, you know, it's restrictive that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Goa in a nutshell.
Did you think of it, Michelle?
It's super ugly. Actually, it's not that bad, but it's very, like, it's almost funny to me because it's, like, so typically Euro in that sense. But the spice bags are super nice. They're chunky. Great scaling. I've only played it at 2. I heard it's great at 3 and 4, but so few auction games actually work at 2. Yeah. And this one does.
In and of itself, a win.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, Raw's pretty good at 2.
Is it? I never played it at 2.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know you could.
Yeah. I think it is anyways. People might disagree. At all the bits, Paul, please.
Way to go.
Boom.
Noish.
Yeah. I like how it's really got that good sense of escalation, right? Because you're like, you're powering up all of your actions. And then so as the game progresses, you're doing more and more powerful actions, which is always kind of fun, mm-hmm. right? And then there's extra action cards. So you can have like super powerful turns where you're getting a bunch of extra actions. That's super fun. It's a little bit puzzly. Like, it's not super heavy, but, you know, it's a little bit puzzly. Like, okay, like, what sequence should I do everything in so that I can best take advantage of what I have? So that's, you know, that's good. It does feel a little long. Like, it's about 60 to 90 minutes, which isn't terrible, but it's pretty repetitive, right? Like, you're... Mm-hmm. Okay, you're auctioning off, and then you're placing your tile, you're doing these actions. It's pretty samey.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's that sense of progression, but it feels like you're really just doing the same thing over and over again. So for me, it felt just a little bit long and repetitive. That being said, I really did enjoy the game, and will definitely play it again. Yeah, I think it's a good game. Obviously.
But ugly.
Hmm?
But ugly.
Yeah. Like, just... funny almost. Like, it was 2004, but it is like it's almost tongue-in-cheek how Euro it is.
Like Castles.
But maybe that's the way it was in 2004. I wouldn't know because I wasn't in the hobby.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. All right.
Yeah, but it's good.
And that's not in print or in print?
Well, I just bought the German version from Board Game Bliss. So I think it's in print in Germany, and I know Board Game Blitz imports it. I don't know if other places do. And I just printed. I found the Z-Man.
It's language independent.
Yeah. There's writing, but you don't need it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's Goa, A New Expedition.
I didn't even realize that there was something after a colon in this game. I just thought it was Goa.
I know. I'm changing your world.
Yeah, you are. Just blowing my mind, man. Yeah. Blowing my mind.
€1 at a time.
All right, my final one is the anti-Euro game. Actually, I feel like all my games are, well, maybe not, whatever.
Your picks this week
are awesome.
This episode.
So my final drive-by is Cry Havoc, designed by Grant Rodiak. And friends, I'm going to be very careful in this when I describe the designers and the artists. I'm just going to go Grant Rodiak. Sorry. And the... there's a lot of really complicated Polish names here. So we will have him in our show notes and then the website, but it's really difficult because it's published by Portal Games and they're not Ignacy Trevicek any of the people involved, so I'm going to go. Sorry, yeah, I just don't want to butcher everyone's name. I apologize. But it's like the art, I love the art style of the game. I think it's really beautiful. It's a gorgeous game. It's a gorgeous production. So I really want to give these people credit, so I'm going to put it in their show notes just so we can't give them credit, but I'm not going to try and pronounce any of these
names. That's, you're no fun.
I know, I'm sorry. But there are like 10 of them. So that's why,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there are.
So published by Portal Games, currently has 7.5 in BGG and came out in 2016. This is another area control game. I am super duper late to the party on this game.
Mm-hmm.
I actually
own this. Was a buzz.
This was like Gen Con 2016, I think, was like the game.
Yeah.
And then it just dropped off.
It did.
Completely, like to the point that you could pick it up super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is always kind of not necessarily
Indication of their
popularity. Is usually an indication of their popularity, sorry, in the board game hobby, I feel like. I actually owned it and then wasn't getting it to the table, so I sold it. Finally played it after 2 years later, last week. I really enjoyed it. There are various clans, they're all asymmetrical, so they all have their own style and their own kind of combative attack. They're fighting over territories, your typical kind of dudes on the map type spiel. But the asymmetry of it really kind of shines through. There were four of us playing, and the four did not feel at all
similar.
Like, there was one group that just bombards the board right away, and they like just burst out in the point track because they're getting tons of points, and they're basically, I feel like, their strategy is trying to hold on. There was another group where that they kind of are slow and methodical in how they kind of get out and start taking over. There was another one which were the mechs or robots or whatever, which are just kill, 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 kill. That's kind of their strategy. I was the blue guys, which are the, I think, pilgrims. And which is perfect for me because they seem very non-confrontational. But you're trying to basically build an engine through it. And this is where I got screwed in this game because, again, my strategy in these games is usually to kind of try and sneak in. I think I did sneak in to the point that I was in second, although way behind first. But I felt I didn't get my engine going until maybe, like, there are five rounds. I got my engine going maybe in like the third round. If I would have been more aggressive, I feel like there's probably a good chance I would have won because I would have gotten my engine going faster. But it's your basic kind of dudes on the map stuff where you're competing over territories. It's an interesting battle system. So at the end of the round, you'll only ever have two factions fighting because as soon as a battle breaks out, there's a I shouldn't have quoted there. That's completely not proper use of quotation. As soon as there are two factions in there, the territory is locked. That's what I meant to do my quotation mark.
Because everyone can see it.
But it gets locked. And then, so you play, everyone plays out their turns for the round, then you have the battle. And the battle's a really neat thing, which I don't know how many games do this, in that there's this card where there are three different things you can do. You can fight to win control, you can take someone hostage, or I think the other one is you can kill someone. And you're taking all your dudes who you have in that area, and you're placing them, the attacker places all their dudes first, and then the other person places their dudes in one of those three things, and then you have your card play, which lets you move guys around from the battle objectives and things like that. So that was an interesting kind of way, is that when you first put your dudes down on the battle objectives, they're going to change by the end, because you're going to have cards. There's lots of card play in it, which I really like about that. It has a nice deck building component in that you start with your faction deck. So everyone's faction deck is tailored to their faction. But then there are, I think, four different terrain types of cards that you can add to your deck as you go
on.
So I enjoyed that because there's a deck building component to it. But I really enjoyed this. Like, I'd like to play it again. Again, because of the highly asymmetric nature of it, kind of the game I played a few times that kind of reminds me of is Vast, in that I feel like it's the type of game you want to play with people either who just play it a lot together or play it with people just who are really experienced. Like, it's the type of game I wouldn't want to have to teach to new players over and over.
Gotcha.
And I know the gentleman who taught us had mentioned that when it initially came out, one, I can't remember which one, but one or two of the factions were extremely overpowered compared to the other ones.
Okay.
And they were able to release some...
Addendums.
That's the word. I was thinking denims, but then I was like, no, that's jeans. Addendums to the rules to make it more balanced. So he was saying that's helped the game a lot, too.
Everybody's talking about my denim. Do you know that song?
No.
Oh, come on.
Addendum or denims?
No. Well, denim? It's actually everyone's talking about my tight pants.
Oh, no. I know tight pants. I thought you were going to say denim. I got you. I got you. You're singing and doing stuff. Gotcha. Gotcha. What? Wicked. Wicked.
Fail.
Wicked. All right. That's Cry Havoc by Portal Games. You know, it's a gooder. Enjoyed it.
Is it, though?
I enjoyed it. And again, I'm influenced by pretty things. Jeff, who taught the game, had them all painted and decked out.
Oh, nice.
Which was, I posted the picture on Instagram of my faction there, but he did a wicked job on them. And, you know, I was like, I looked in this. These don't look like the ones I had when I owned the game. I was like, oh, that's
wait
why.
A minute.
Because I'm lazy and have no artistic skill. That's why they look like
there you go.
Different. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cry Havoc. There Cry you have Havoc. It. There you have it.
There you have it. Cry Havoc. I should do the, I can't remember the line from Shakespeare, from Caesar, Julius Caesar. What is it? Do you know it?
No, I don't know. No.
This isn't Blue Pink Pink Pink, where like Patrick rattles off there Shakespearean quotes. So,
no,
but I know it's from Julius Caesar. There's something about
I can sing a song from Jimmy Fallon if you'd like.
Oh, is that who it's from?
Yeah. All right, my next drive-by is...
Oh, speaking of Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah?
Sorry, I don't know. Is it Jimmy Fallon? You know that SNL skit, the Sofa King one?
No.
We've been looking for a new sofa, and it's just completely off topic. But they're like, it's the store. It's like Sofa King, but they're like,
oh, I think
you know. I'm not gonna. This is so fucking great. This is you know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to get that explicit tag, so I'm not gonna continue with the bit.
But you already did. You already
no,
did
it's
it.
Sofa King.
Oh, Sofa King.
Yeah, okay. There you go. I think it's Jimmy Fallon. I don't know, but
sounds like it might be. Sounds familiar. Anyways, let me just start this again.
Yeah, let's just go over this episode. Jeez.
I feel like the beginning of my pew-pews are like your invitation for tangents.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. Because
you're
you
like,
know.
Please don't talk about another girl. Yeah.
But this one I actually want to hear about.
Okay, Istanbul the Dice Game.
Okay.
By Rudiger Doran. That's two Rudiger Doran
games
on my drive.
You're really Rudigering it up.
That's true. Art is by Andreas Resch. And it's published by AEG in 2017, although, it just became available mm-hmm. not that long ago. Current rating of 7.2 on BGG. This is a roll. No, it's not. It's not a roll, right? This is a dice game.
Yeah. Though.
So it's a race game. The goal of the game is to collect 6 rubies. Out on the board, there are...
Rubies. Opal.
No.
Oh my god, that would be so hilarious.
That would be great. There are a bunch of different areas where you can get rubies from. Some of them are like, you know, have 4 pineapples or have 4 cloth. And then if somebody gets 4 cloth, they take the ruby and then now it's 5 cloth. And there's one where it's like have an assortment of different goods. And then there's one track where it's money. So just straight up pay money. There are a ton of things that you can do with the dice. On your turn, you roll the dice. You do not have, like, 3 rolls, like a typical dice game. You just get the one roll, but you can collect crystals throughout the game in various ways to allow you to re-roll any or all of your dice. And then you take actions. You take 2 actions on your turn. You can take coins if you have coins, and then there's like different combinations will give you things like extra goods, obviously the rubies out on the board, and then there's also market tiles, I think is what they're called, but they're basically modifiers. So, and they're pretty powerful. Like some of them give you an extra action, or some of them give you a crystal every turn, so that means, you know, you can reroll every turn. What else? Because I think some of them give you good, so things like that. And then there's also cards, and some of them allow you to take a card every turn. And cards often just give you benefits. So say like, hey, right now you could sell a green for $2, and you know, and that sort of thing. That's it. That's the game. It's good. It's a good little dice game. It's kind of one of those games where you're just like, this is nice. I like the decisions. It's not super heavy. It's not too light. Like, you're still thinking a little bit. You know, I like the kind of rule breaking that the market tiles bring into the game. You know, you kind of like make your own little engine, if you will, you know, and play to that. So that's pretty fun. It looks good. And yeah, it's nice. I like it. For what it is, it's a nice little package.
So I've never played actual Istanbul. How's it? Does it compare to
You know, it's like- been a really long time since I've played Istanbul. I mean, I guess similarities are, if I recall correctly, you are trying to get rubies in Istanbul.
Really?
I think it's a race, if I remember. I mean, that kind of makes sense that it would be. And I imagine the goods are the same, but like, it's the original is like a Moncala kind of style. So I don't know. And I don't remember there being super breaking abilities, but honestly, it's been years. Yeah. There's a big box coming out for Istanbul with all the expansions. I plan to pick it up. Okay. Yeah. I've heard the expansions make the game quite good.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So I would recommend it if you like, you know, dice games and you're not looking for something, you know, super heavy. Yeah, it's a good one.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Look at that.
Nice. You joined me just like, and it was like, perfect.
Yeah.
So that awesome sound effect was for our returning BGG thread spotlight. In this bit, we spotlight an amazing BGG thread by amazing BGG contributors. Mm-hmm. And we talk about some of the posts and give our thoughts on them and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
There you go.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
Is buying a lottery ticket playing a game? So Kirk Thomas, the OP, says, I heard a commercial the other night reinforcing that playing a game you already enjoy more will help schools, etc., etc. I'd never thought of this as playing a game, but maybe it's the bottom rung. Opinions?
Jano's opinion was, every number has the same probability, so no matter what you choose, your chances to win are the same. If something like that were actually a board game, would it be any fun?
No one says nothing. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, just to be like, this is the actual username. There's no one?
There's no one. Not for me, but people still play games that play themselves. The term games used loosely for what I'd instead consider an activity. Despite the odds being the same, there still is choice in numbers, and choice tends to be a defining characteristic of an actual game.
Good point. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, any game on rails would be like that. Who am I? Sure. I'd consider bets or wagers to be a form of game. That doesn't mean it's a good or particularly fun game, especially in the example given where no skill or meaningful decision making is involved.
Yeah. That's a good point. It kind of turned me around from my initial thinking. All right, Ryan King says, traditional lottery tickets like Mass Millions? No. I would consider those barely a game. Scratch-off lottery tickets? Yes. People really into them definitely make it a game, using various strategies to try to maximize their profits. Although the game is more metagame about choosing which games have the best odds of return for your budget, buying in bulk, tracking which stores have already had winning tickets through which games, etc., etc.
So that's a good point, but it's not looking at all. Like, all lottery tickets, where I feel like traditional lottery tickets fall into that.
Well, I'm like, what about, like, couponing? Then is that, like...
I feel like that's a game. It's like, totally, like, the way... Man, there was a show?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you know what? There was a show on one of, like, reality shows about these, like, extreme couponers. And yes. Like, I don't know if that's so much of a game as, like, a lifestyle, but it's a good point. Jumbit. It's not a game. It's gambling. In my mind, those are different. What they're selling is not a game. What lottery sells is hope, $1 at a time. So that's a good point. However, poker is gambling. It's also a game.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true. But you could define it as a game with like a gambling mechanism or an element versus...
Yes. And I mean, you can do... Like, okay. I feel like I'm getting into semantics here now.
Well, it is semantics. Yeah, I mean, it's like the same as being like, what is art?
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? It's like, you know, okay, like I was at a breakfast here for Calgary Stampede this morning, and there was like a lottery. I didn't pay anything for it, but it was like a prize drawing, right? Which is a lottery. Any prize drawing is a lottery. I'm not paying for it, but you know, still gambling because you're still putting your odds against everyone else. So I don't know.
Which sounds gamey to me.
Yeah.
So I thought we could start with I looked up a definition of game.
Whoa, are you fancy?
So a form of play or sport, especially a competitive one, played according to rules and decided by skill, strength, or luck. And I would say, according to this definition, it is a game.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Right? It is a form of play in a sense. It is competitive. There are rules, and it is definitely decided by luck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, you know, for me...
You know what else is a game according to this?
Mm.
Jaywalking.
How is it jaywalking competitive?
Because you're trying to get to the other side before everyone else. And there are rules. You're just breaking the rules.
Oh, boy. I mean, it is arguing with semantics. My initial thought was like, absolutely not. But then when I read the comments and I read the definition, I was like, yeah, you know, I guess you could consider it a game. But, you know, I don't think it fits the mainstream definition of a game. And I don't think it's a particularly good game. If you looked strictly at the definition, then sure, fine. Yes. It's a game. But
yeah, it's one of those interesting things that, you know, it's worth looking into.
And that's why we discuss we're
discussing it. That would make for a good board game, though. Ooh, couponing would make an awesome
extreme
board.
Couponing.
Extreme couponing would make for...
That actually would be...
It would really would. Yeah. Be like more like Euro, though. More like a Euro-y game.
Or a deck builder.
Deck builder.
Yeah.
I think I got my first board game.
Yeah, that would be super fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we just designed a game.
We did. Publishing house. That's
right?
It. We're totally... You know, I thought about that in my reading of Euro Gaming Digest Monthly.
Oh, yeah?
That when I read... I feel like it changes every episode, the name of that magazine.
Yeah,
that
I think the last week was... Or last episode was Board Game Weekly Digest.
Whatever.
Or Designer. You know,
yeah, so this digest. Is another
subscription?
Yeah, I have lots of subscriptions.
Yeah, clearly. Wow.
But, you know, I've read Rüdiger Dorn.
You're well read.
I'm very well read. The aforementioned Rüdiger Dorn talking about it. So, you know, that's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff.
And what did he have to say?
I don't know, but just sing your song.
Okay. Bits, 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 bits.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
There it is.
Let's do our all the bits. I was waiting for you to do your other part. Everybody
bits now.
There you go.
Bits. Do you regret this?
Yes, I do. Okay, this is our bit where we highlight some awesome bits from some games or things that we've seen or played or done or touched. You know, really touched.
Mm-hmm.
And really
what does it... Can you define really touched?
Like really, so touch is just like touched? This, but really touch is like fondled and like...
Oh, fondled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that clarification.
For my bits, I have fondled the crap out of them.
Fondled. Okay.
Yeah. So just have fun.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And probably not going to touch any game that you like.
Yeah,
you
probably won't. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
All right, what's your pick?
So my pick is role player stuff from the game Role Player that we've talked about.
Nice.
So I was unaware of this until Origins, and then just before Origins, as I was doing my research, I realized that there were all sorts of awesome accessories for Role Player. There's like this awesome looking play mat. Like, look at this thing. Look how gorgeous this is.
Yeah, very nice.
There are coins. There are even dice towers. And Meeple Realty actually has an insert thing as well.
They do such cool inserts.
They do. They really do. So, of course, me being an idiot, I didn't buy it right away. I was like, oh, I'll come back later. And, of course, when I came back later, 2 days later, they were sold out of the playmat. So I wasn't able to get the playmat, which was unfortunate. But I was able to get the metal coins.
Nice.
Which are really nice.
Yeah,
I love
them.
Like, they have this king guy on the front and on the back. And then the front is like weapons, the ones that are three. The little ones are a little small, which is my main problem with them. So they feel kind of not that great and really small. But they're still really nice. Like, again, it's some sort of prince or person on it. And then the front has some flowers and number one on it. Definitely loads better than...
And they look like real coins.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
They don't feel like real coins in that they're a little bit, I would say they're a little bit lighter than your typical coins that you would go into your pocket and take out. But they're really nice. I have been fondling the crap out of these.
Mm-hmm, I bet you have.
My daughter's totally into them. She like plays, has been playing with them nonstop and just being like, money, 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 money. So I'm raising a real good one there. She's like, money, 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 money. I'm going to film a video of an unflooring video for our IGTV channel.
Nice.
Of her playing with them. But, so, yeah, those are really nice. I haven't used them in the game yet, but we've played with them tons.
Well, that's good. You're getting your use out of it.
Yeah. I'm going to order the playmat.
You are.
Because it's so gorgeous.
It is very nice.
Because I really like it. And their shipping isn't terrible to Canada.
Okay.
It's like $7 or $8. So it's not terrible. So cool. I might do that to get it. I really wanted the playmat. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So, yeah, that's right. I don't know if I need the Dice Tower or the other stuff. One day, maybe the Maple Realty insert, because it's really cool looking.
Have you played with the expansion yet?
I haven't.
No, I haven't either yet.
No, I've opened it and fondled the dice, but I haven't got a chance to play with it. I just played this last week again, but not with the expansion because none of the people had played. I taught it. But I love role players.
Yeah, it's a great
game. One of my favorite light, bit lengthy games. It's a bit long, but not heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Role player stuff. From Thunderworks Games. And I didn't realize they sold stuff on their website. So you can go to thunderworksgames.bigcartel.com. And they have all sorts of accessories.
Cool.
Yeah. Apparently clothing, too. I wonder if they have a role player shirt. They do!
They do!
I don't like the game.
No mug. I'm surprised.
No what?
Usually mug. Those are like the two things. T-shirts and mugs.
And mugs, yeah.
Cool. So well, my pick is Tokyo Highway.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so this game is for two players, and it's a dexterity game where you're building a highway out of, like, I haven't actually played the game, but I understand are, like, the size of popsicle sticks, and you use tweezers to put little cars on the highways. Apparently, it can be fairly frustrating because if you, like, you know, knock someone over, you're, like, you're supposed to get it back to like the previous state or something. Yeah, I know. We're not here to talk about the gameplay. We're here to talk about the bits, which are absolutely gorgeous. I mean, they're basic wood, but
popsicle sticks.
Well, not quite. They're painted gray, so it's
gray popsicle sticks.
Yeah. But it's just a beautiful looking game. Like when
it's really small.
It's super small and it's just really photogenic. Like like I said, I haven't played it, but like every time I see a photo of it, I just drool a little bit. It's just beautiful. It looks really complex. Like the way, by the time it's all built up, you know, you've got all these popsicle sticks, if you will, all, you know, going over each other, and all these like mini little cars, and there's, you know, the color of the cars is really nice. It's a pink and a blue, and then the sticks are gray, so it's just it's a nice color set.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the word for that. Anyway, very, very cute looking game. Palette, there's the word. Thank you. Very cute looking game and absolutely beautiful in photos.
Sweet.
It has tweezers.
Yes, it does have tweezers. One of the podcasts, another board game media podcast that I quite enjoy is Draft Mechanic. And they talk about board games and draft and craft beer. So, you know, awesome. So they were, the last episode they were talking about Tokyo Highway, they basically, Danielle, who's one of the co-hosts, I think, she basically described it as, you're buying a box of popsicle sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice, like, package, but it basically feels like you're buying a box of popsicle sticks.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah.
And it's $50 because it's import right now. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know.
But it's pretty.
Yeah, that's what's important.
That counts for something.
Welcome to all the bits. Yeah. That's, you know, that and boring dry euros.
That's what we're all about.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw the ball now.
Okay. No.
Home run! It's close enough. Next up!
Apparently, hitting a ball sounds like snapping a whip.
Yeah. I don't want to know about your baseball.
Next up.
This is our next up bit where we talk about things we're looking forward to.
That is a fact.
And unfortunately, I do not have another baseball game to talk about this week.
What?
like last episode where I talked about Lords of Baseball, which I'm still super excited for. I can't wait.
Me too.
Because you're an avid baseball fan.
Avid.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe my baseball fandomness. Is that a word?
Sure. Sure. I really want to hear about your first one you want to talk about, actually. Because I'm assuming...
Oh, I don't know anything about it.
Okay, we'll just talk about it. Whatever. Okay, you want me to go first?
I'm going to look it up.
Okay, so should I go first then?
Sure.
Since we're super prepared. I'll talk about... Yeah, okay. So let me... The first one I want to talk about, which is hit the interwebs last week, I think. Or the week before... Last week. Terraforming Mars, Uranus. Finally. No.
No, I'm not going to support you with this. Come on now.
Okay, fine. Terraforming Mars, colon, colonies from Stronghold Games is yet another expansion. I feel like I'm losing control because they're constantly announcing these little small box expansions.
I think there's supposed to be 8 of them.
I know. There's okay, so Terraforming Mars colonies, from what I know about it, is basically you're colonizing off Mars. And there's lots of corporations that give you bonuses for moving stuff from Mars or wherever to the colonies. It's another one of these, when I was reading BGG, it's another one of these ones that you can mix with what the base game of Terraforming Mars and or whatever other little expansions you have. It's basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to build these colonies, some of the corporations that come with it. They start with these colonies that are off Mars. And again, you're trying to move product or things between. That's kind of what I know, what cool. I've gathered from it.
That sounds good.
This is an Essen release. I'm super excited about this. I haven't really been terribly excited about, like, Prelude, the one that...
Oh, I'm looking forward to Prelude.
Yeah, are you? Mm-hmm. The one's coming in? Maybe I just haven't. I don't even know when it's coming out. It's Gen Con?
I think so, yeah. I think Prelude's August, and this one's October, yeah. I think.
This one sounds really interesting, though, to be able to kind of... That gives you kind of another mechanism. More Terraforming Mars is great. The great thing about Terraforming Mars is if you don't want to play with any of these, it's still so great. Base game, right? Like, I have Venus, and I've never played my... I've played Venus a whole bunch of times. I've never played my copy of Venus.
No.
So.
I haven't bought Venus.
I haven't even played my extra maps.
I have played those.
But I've played them a ton. Other people's extra maps. And just, like, the people I play Terraforming Mars with, they just like the base game. So we're like, okay, whatever.
Let's do it.
Just guess the best game. Best game ever, so...
Okay, well, this next one I'm super well-versed on.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's called Imhotep Das Duel. Mm-hmm. So, apparently, in 2018, Cosmos is releasing a two-player version of Imhotep. And Phil Walker Harding is still the designer behind it.
I am so hot right now. I need to go take a shower.
I know. Are you
That's
so
like
excited?
So exciting.
It's a good game.
I'm not
I
being
like
sarcastic.
Imhotep.
I love Imhotep.
Yeah?
I
okay.
Love it. Yeah.
So it says in this game, pieces must be cleverly placed so you can unload the most valuable tiles from boats. So it sounds very similar to the standard Imhotep. Mm-hmm. And then it says, while this is happening, each player builds their own 4 monuments in order to gain as many fame points as possible. So it sounds like maybe you have your own board. That's all that's out about it.
There's
a cover image and that description. But I like Imhotep and two-player games. So I think this one will... be a good one for me.
A gooder. Oh, yeah. I'm totally enjoyable. I'm guessing we'll see that at, hopefully...
Essen.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's
least,
what I would
at
think.
At least being there.
Yeah.
So we could get more information about it. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. My next up is... I lost it. Is Beelives, We Will Only Know Summer.
I love that it's that long of a...
Yeah, we will... We'll talk about why that name is that, too.
Okay.
So this is designed by Matt Shoemaker, art by Alina Josan and Helen Shoemaker, published by Hit 'Em With a Shoe Game, which is an awesome, awesome name.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. So I think this is his first game. Matt was nice enough to sit down with me at Origins and go over the game and talk about it. What impressed me, and anytime I kind of, like, hear a designer talk, or, you know, now that we have the podcast, speak to designers and stuff like that. When it's personal to them, it kind of says a little bit more. Matt, I believe, is a beekeeper, is his hobby. Is his, like, he loves bees, He's also a really smart guy, so you talk to him and you feel really stupid, one of these guys that you talk to. But he is a beekeeper. And so this is, like, really, like, super important to him. Like, super, he's super into this. And Bee Lives, We Will Only Know Summer, is a euro.
Woohoo!
From kind of the description, as he was going over it with me, feels very much in the vein of, like, Agricola slash, you know, my preferred version of Agricola, which is Brewcrafters. Like, that type of game. It seems like it'll be a heavy, you know, almost 3-hour experience. Basically, what you're doing is you're going through the life of a bee. So you're going through the four seasons. The last season, winter, I think, is just scoring. But you're going through kind of the spring, the summer, and the fall. You're doing all your typical bee stuff. So you're going out, you're pollinating flowers, you're mating, you're serving your queen. It's very much a weaker worker placement game. So you have... five different actions that you can take throughout it. Then you're kind of getting your resources when you're out on the board. So you're doing that resource management kind of piece of it too. It felt really good. And it felt like a really, like, kind of like when he was running it through to me, like, it's a game that you would love. Mm-hmm. Very much.
I actually really like the theme too. I have a bee game called Waggle Dance. Well, yeah. I don't know why, but
And I'll be talking more about this as well. But the bits are also really nice that he kind of showed me.
I'm looking at the bits right now. And yeah. Can I just say he's missed an opportunity? Because the first game components listed are beeples. Oh, he did say beeples. Okay.
Yes.
He said beeples, bee meeples. And I was like, no. Those are
it's
beeples.
It's gotta be beeples, yeah.
Okay. Well done, Matt.
And it's also really nice playmat. Playmat is really nice. Can't remember if he said the playmat will. I believe he said the playmat will be a Kickstarter bonus. I took lots of notes when we were talking. I could not understand. I can't read any of my writing.
I love that happened.
I took so many notes because he was like going like lots of facts about bees. I had no idea that he was explaining to me. I was like, this is really cool. Playmat's really nice. The bits are really nice. He has some pictures on BGG of the proposed bits, the bits that will be there. So the presentation is really nice of the game as well. I believe he said, and I just sent him a message now, and I'll put it in the show notes. I believe he said September, October is kind of when he was shooting for Kickstarter.
For Kickstarter, yeah.
To get out, it will be a Kickstarter. But like even the bags, he had like really nice bags. And again, I don't know if they will be part of the Kickstarter package as well. And it sounds like, I know he's been demoing it at Dice Tower Con. I've been following him on the Twitters and stuff. It seems like it's getting a lot of good buzz.
The game is actually a year of managing a wild beehive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not a bee, but you're managing.
You're managing it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you're managing it as the queen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because you're, like, deciding when your bees are going to swarm and what's going to happen and who's the queen sending out and where you're going to go to get your resources. So it's not so much you're in the role of a beekeeper.
Gotcha.
You're in the role of, I think, the queen would be my guess. And it's super thematic. Like, cool. It really felt like. So that's bee... I love the name so much. Bee Lives, We Will Only Know Summer.
The art is cute, too. It's like slightly whimsical. It's not what you would typically expect in a game. It looks like Helen Shoemaker is one of the artists. So I'm guessing it's either his sister or his wife.
Yeah, I don't know if
wife.
We talked. I can't remember. I think we talked about it.
I was like the idea.
Publisher hit him with a shoe, and their last name is Shoemaker, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Look at you making connections all
so
over
smart.
The place. All right, my next one. There's really very, very little information about this. It's a Trois Roll and Write for two players. This game was made for me. I'm certain of it. I love Trois. I like Roll and Writes. And I play two-player games. There's a picture of it. Pearl Games released a picture of it on their Facebook page. And it just says, this is the prototype of Trois for two. We're working on a lot of new games at the moment. And yeah, it's definitely a roll and write. There's a bunch of boxes and a bunch of circles that you're going to fill out. And it's coming out in 2019. So I think it'll be a while, but... Ermagerd. Amazing.
Can I just say, it might be a good game and you might enjoy it. I'm just getting fed up with everyone releasing, like...
The Rollin' Rights?
The Rollin' Rights, yeah. Or the dice versions, or... It's starting to wear on me.
It's not wearing on me.
It's just rolling down the back at this point. Oh, snap. Boom! Nailed it.
Did you?
Nailed it.
Hashtag, did you, though?
And there's our show name.
That's fair. I still don't mind.
So, I'm going to sneak in the third one here. Just sneak it in. I'm getting an eye roll. But I think it's something that's important to the All the Bits podcast.
It is.
Since this is our local tickets for our local gaming convention, FallCon. FallCon 31 just went on sale. Early bird tickets. So for those of you in Calgary or surrounding area.
Is that how you say Calgary? Calgary?
People in Saskatchewan, which is the neighboring province, say Calgary.
Calgary?
Yeah. Okay. I don't say it.
We say Calgary.
I say Calgary, yeah. But whatever. I'm being funny, okay, man?
Oh, was that supposed to be funny?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh!
Soup's funny. Okay. Anyway, FallCon 31 tickets just went on sale. You can go to FallCon.com. You can buy your early bird tickets to save some money if you want.
And it's where is it?
It is in Calgary.
Oh!
Calgary, Canada, at the State University. But this is a great, as far as like from what I see of a lot of board game conventions out there, and it's not just because it's our local convention, they get, 700, 800, 900 people there.
Mm-hmm.
They have 1,400 game open library.
Great library.
People hosting tons of games. Various vendors are always, Roxley always has a presence there.
A flea market.
An auction, which is always super fun. Mm-hmm. So it's a great convention. So
it is.
If you are thinking of coming to Calgary.
Sorry, coming where?
To Calgary. Yeah, feel free to come to FallCon because it's an awesome convention. And you know who will be there? All the Bits.
That's right.
Will be there. So you would get to meet Sean and Michelle.
Whoa. Opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm sure we've talked about doing some content for the show there too. So we'll stuff things. We'll do things there. But it'll be a fun event. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I love it.
There we go. Okay.
Are you good?
I'm good. That's it.
All right. Well, before we close out the show, we just want to say thanks again to our amazing listeners and, of course, our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones.
And you did a really good job this episode dropping in Board Game Bliss like a whole bunch of times as you were talking. I was very impressed.
Well, the thing is it's not so intentional as it is. It's just my lifestyle.
What?
Well, Board Game Bliss.
You're constantly on their website hitting F5, F4, whatever.
Basically.
Refreshing. Yeah. Is there an update?
My morning goes like so.
Michelle, is a true story.
Michelle wakes up. Michelle picks up phone. Michelle checks Board Game Bliss to see if there's any new releases. And then I continue on with my day.
And then 3 hours later, you do the same.
Yes.
See, I need to be you. Because there's like constantly, I'm really bad at, I'll put my alerts, they have a good thing where you put in an alert for a game. Like, Outlive is a good example. A game I've been looking forward to was, my number one pick from Essen last year, which recently came out. Mm-hmm. And I saw it came out, and I was out of the house. And I was like, oh, I'll do it when I get home. And then I got home, and I couldn't order it.
This is the thing. It's like, if you want it, you got to get it.
Because
things will go out of sale and, or go out of stock in, 5 days.
Yeah, but I'm completely, too afraid to use my phone. To with my credit card number on it.
Really?
On my whatever, FT, what's it called? FYE, I don't know, 3G, 4G, 5G, 6G, whatever it is.
LTE?
Well, there you go, LTE. That's what I'm thinking of. I will not ever use it.
I have a new nickname for you.
What?
Gramps.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm old.
I'm kidding.
I'm old. I have bowel problems.
If you're old, then I'm also old, and I'm not willing to accept that
No,
fact.
You're pretty old.
No, I'm super
young. You're 22.
Yeah, and we've gone over how hip I am.
Yeah, you're super hip.
Super hip.
Anyway, we have someone else that we should thank today for our awesome new outro.
Yes.
Intro.
And outro.
And outro, which you'll hear in a couple seconds.
Yes, a big shout out and thanks to Don Bichand.
Yes. We have our banjo and he's got an awesome voice. So you don't have to hear my horrible intro. I was telling Michelle before, my wife, when I'm sitting there, she never listens to the show because she hates me and doesn't love me, but whatever. But when I'm sitting there editing the show and she hears me at the beginning, that and she just makes fun of me and just says how much she hates it. So I'm sure the rest of our 300-400 listeners now don't have to listen to that anymore.
But they have to listen to you rambling on for an hour and a half. Like, yeah.
Yeah. If only they had Don Bichon.
It's true.
Because he has a very smooth, sexy voice.
He does.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he does. So,
That's
the Opal episode, folks.
That's the Opal episode.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to episode 24 and join us next time for Apple. Apple will be...
Big.
Big 25.
Big numbers.
We are closing in on the 1 year anniversary.
I know. Do you know when that is?
I feel like we've been doing this for more than a year now.
Probably.
I just had it in my head that, like, at episode 26, that'll be the 1 year.
Okay.
You know, if you times that by two, hashtag math, you get 52 weeks.
And hashtag we have children, hashtag yeah, we've whatever. Missed weeks.
So I'm doing, yeah. I feel like, you know, we'll throw a party for episode 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can plan it.
I'll plan it.
I'll show up.
Be a wicked party.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. All right. So for the third time, we're closing out the show.
Bye.
Bye,
people. Bye.
Bye.
We were shaking our hands because yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, God.
If you enjoyed diving into All the Bits with Sean and Michelle, head on over to allthebitspod.com. Thanks for listening. May all your euros be dry and your bits aplenty.